Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, thank you everybody.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, aka DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey everybody, I just want to thank everyone for tuning in. I thought I stopped the drop for today, but I guess I was wrong. I hope everybody had a great weekend this weekend. Today on Life Remix Radio, we actually won't have a guest unless anybody calls in. Today, I think most of you know my quote-unquote day job is as the president of the Platinum Speakers Bureau. And the whole concept of the Platinum Speakers Bureau just developed out of when I wrote my books and I started speaking at colleges and universities and all of these institutions of higher learning. I didn't have, I guess, like stationery or something to book myself from. So what I did was I started my own lecture management agency, and that's how the Platinum Speakers Bureau came about. But the funniest thing is the more I book speakers and the more I work my business, I have so many people reaching out to me, Saida, I want to be a speaker. I don't know how to get started. Saida, God gave me a message. I don't know how to get started. Saida, what am I supposed to do? I don't know the first steps. So I developed a program entitled How to Make Motivational Speaking Your Day Job, and it was really just by default. It wasn't something that I set out to do. It wasn't something that I said, okay, I'm going to make money off of aspiring speakers. Nah, that's definitely not the case. The funniest thing is there's one person who helps motivational speakers, and according to his website, her website, you can pay as much as $20,000 for more or less the same information I'm going to share with you today. The funniest thing is that a lot of this information is available online, but it's, I guess, unless you can, if you can apply it or you have somebody that you can bounce back ideas and thoughts off of, it kind of doesn't work. It kind of makes it moot just to kind of Google everything and try to find it that way. So I do want to let you know, I do coach speakers. So if anybody out there is really interested in becoming a motivational speaker or how to make motivational speaking your day job, that's something that I can help you with. So you can hit me up offline or you can send an email to sb@platinumspeakersbureau.com. I just want to give a shout out to True View Radio, who's in the chat room, Sophisticated Lady Crystal's in the chat room. I also want to give a shout out to Dropping Seed Radio, who's always joining us every single day. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I just want to let you know, we're not going to do the dictionary word today. Oh, hello to Reaching Peak as well. We're not going to do the word of the day, but I am going to read you our daily thought for today, which I get from Hillside Chapel and Truth Center. They mail it to us, to my house for my husband and I. So I will read this to you, and then we'll jump right into how to make motivational speaking your day job. For Monday, July 28th, 2008, the scripture, I'm just going to hold it so to everybody who can see it in the webcam, and this will be available up on YouTube later on. It reads as follows. I have promising future. The future for me looks bright and full of possibilities. Each day I look forward to what is on the horizon. I know it is good. I look forward to each city to learn something new, travel to new ground, and meet a new soul. I know that what lies ahead is greater than what is in the past. I am prepared to meet all the good God has for me. No matter what has occurred in the past, it is the past and does not have any power over my future. God loves me and is providing everything I need to move forward in my life. I have a promising future and look forward to living it. I anticipate a future filled with possibilities, opportunities, and adventure. I look forward to what will be revealed to me. I savor the idea of getting closer to spirit each day. I believe that no matter what has gone on in the past, past, it does not change the bright future that God has prepared for me. I have a promising future, and I look forward to it while I enjoy this day. Thanks, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And the scripture reading for today is Genesis 26:24. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. So that is our daily thought for today, and I'm just going to jump right into our topic, which is how to make motivational speaking your day job. The big question. Yeah, you can make a lot of money. You just kind of show up and talk, but there's a couple of things you have to do before you can get to that point, and I'm going to share them with you right now. The first thing you have to do is pick your platform. We're going to go over five areas, and I'll get as much covered as I possibly can today, but this is what I do in my coaching sessions as well as through public seminars on a very regular basis. I host this once a month or via teleseminar as well as like a regular session. So there's five areas. The five areas are, number one, pick your platform. Number two, focus on promotions. Number three, creating your actual presentation. Number four are your products. And number five is how to run your speaking business. So those are the five areas of how to make motivational speaking your day job: your platform, your promotions, your presentation, your products, and your business. So we're going to jump right in with your platform. Just know that the chat line is open on Blog Talk Radio. And you can call in with your questions. The call-in number is 347-633-9113 in case you have any questions. I will definitely help you out. I want everybody to be successful because this is such a nice way to make money and to make a living. Well, let's start your platform. Basically, your platform is what you talk about. You have to know what you want to talk about in order for you to expect people to compensate and pay you to talk about it. So you have to imagine, what is something that you're very comfortable in speaking about? What is something that you think people want to hear? A lot of times when I deal with people or speakers, they'll call me and say, well, what do people pay to, you know, pay, what are they paying to talk about? And I'm like, well, it doesn't kind of work that way. You have to pick something that you're extremely passionate about, whatever the topic is. It can be how to fix the remote, and you talk to people about how to fix the remote control to link up with your VCR or your DVD player. Whatever it is, whatever you talk about, you have to be very, very, very well versed in that particular area. I tell all of my clients, you have to sink your roots. So I guess if people are paying, and most of my clients, the people that buy speakers, they want leadership and diversity. I would say those are like the top ones: leadership, diversity, motivation, achievement. But if you talk about how to deep sea dive off of the coast of Florida, that's not saying there's not a market for it. It's just saying that that's not necessarily what clients are buying. So that doesn't mean if you're well-versed in deep sea diving, you now try to pick up the topic of leadership and diversity for your repertoire, because it's just not going to sound natural. It's not going to sound natural. They're not going to bring you back, and it's also going to hurt future opportunities for speakers because you're just winging it, and that's so not good. You have to develop original material, and I really think a key piece of this whole thing is that your topic must address an issue or a concern of a broad audience. Let me just give you an example. When I first started speaking, I really talked about my deliverance from hip-hop to heaven, just the whole concept of me working in the hip-hop industry, getting out of the hip-hop industry, now totally working for God, and how to make a safe, clear, and clean exodus from the hip-hop industry. So that was my message, from hip-hop to heaven. Then what I did was I branched off and created a program from Hip Hop to Heaven for Girls, which included an etiquette program. So now I wasn't going too far from my roots, but it still afforded the opportunity for me to continue to secure speaking engagements based on my core competency, and my core competency was hip hop and pop culture. So I hope everybody's with me now. So now I kind of ran through the whole from hip-hop to heaven. I was speaking all over about the whole concept of hip-hoppers growing older, and we can't just start keep talking about, you know what I'm saying. So I really started talking about success and success principles. So I had to figure out a way to bridge my core message of from hip-hop to heaven, which was about deliverance, leading a successful life, to talking about success in general. And what I did was that's how I came up with the whole concept of Life Remixed. Now, of course, that's the name of this radio show, but prior to that, Life Remixed was a message, because the whole concept of Life Remixed, as is the topic of this show, where you're taking, where you're rethinking things that were taught so you can achieve success in other areas of your life. And then once my audience got comfortable with Life Remix, I was able to gently transition into Leap for Success. So my core message at this exact moment is Leap for Success. And that's the message that I lecture about. That's the name of my next book. I'm talking about success principles. And I share this with you because I want you to understand how I was able to create a message based on my core competency, based on what I knew, which was hip-hop. And now when I realize there's a, you know, my message has to address an issue of concern to a broad audience. Transitioning from hip-hop to heaven doesn't necessarily address the issues or concerns of a very broad audience, but how to be successful does. So it took me some time. It took me about a year and a half to kind of stretch the program and be able to create this new message, but it worked, and it's working extremely, extremely well. My advice to you is to really try to become an expert or a leading authority in your core competency. So, for example, if you talk about diversity, just for argument's sake, you really need to talk, you need to understand diversity laws. I would not go so far as to say in all 50 states, but you have to be well-versed. If you talk about domestic violence, you have to know some statistics, because what happens is when you become a speaker, and if you really want to make motivational speaking your day job, you have to be perceived as an expert or a leading authority. And in order to do that, you have to be well-versed and knowledgeable about what you're talking about. Nobody's going to pay you $2,500 a lecture or a presentation or a speech because you know a little bit about domestic violence or you were an activist in high school. It's not going to work. Another thing you have to do, you have to always fine-tune your message for your audience. So, for example, I talk about from hip-hop to heaven. If I'm talking to a youth group, I have to know what's going on in hip-hop right here and right now. But if I'm talking to a group of parents or educators or pastors or youth leaders, I tweak it and I make myself the adult in that situation, because you have to touch people where they are and still be able to get your message across to these people so that when they walk away that they can take action right then and right there. If you just get up on the stage and talk and have a good message, people are going to forget what you said as soon as they walk out the door. How many times have you been to church and you were in church and you get home and they say, what'd you talk about? And you're like, I don't know, but the singing was good. If you're paying for that, you deserve a refund. You have to be able to extract very key components of the speaker's message, but in order to do that, the speaker has to speak the language in order to make you receptive to receive that message. So I think we're pretty clear on that. Just sink your roots. Your topic must address an issue or concern of a broad audience. You have to have original material. You always have to have something to say. Become a leading expert or authority. Be well-versed and knowledgeable, and fine-tune your message to your audience. Oh, this is another thing, very quickly, why word of the day at dictionary.com is good because it helps build your vocabulary. You have to have a good vocabulary. You don't want to quote-unquote speak down to your audience, but you have to be able to articulate your thoughts and your message in a complete and coherent way. And in order to do that, you don't want to get on the stage or be giving a presentation and get tongue-tied. It's going to happen. It's probably inevitable, but you want to make sure that you have a solid understanding of your vocabulary, so that way you can explain your point as best you can. So that's the gist of your platform. Just become an expert and not a speaker. We're going to move on now. The next thing you have to focus on is your promotions. Your promotions is the second component of how to make motivational speaking your day job. Your promotions is really how you get you as a person across to your potential audience. Promotions can be done through, I would even go so far as to say marketing and promotions. It can include postcards, newsletters, mailing lists, emails, using Constant Contact. I'm going to give you a very juicy tip right now on the best way to market yourself as a speaker, a very good and inexpensive way. Use the brochures available through Vistaprint. Now, I'm sure there's other inexpensive brochure print things, or if you can have your friend who works at a print company produce them in a very inexpensive way, but I'm going to tell you why. When you're preparing your kit, my press kit used to be several pages. It was about 9 pages. I did it in PowerPoint, and I converted it to a PDF file. Now, this I still use if I'm speaking with someone over the internet, and they say, well, can you email me some information? Well, yeah, boom, you want to be able to email them something right away. But for the purpose of mailing, yeah, let me go back just a second. You have to be careful with email because you don't want people to report you as spam and block you. So be very careful with with sending out unsolicited emails. I only send out my 9-page sales kit until someone specifically says, Saida, can you send me some information? And I do that with all of my speakers. I don't send sales kits blindly to people because then I'll get spammed and they won't get any emails from me. So if, in fact, someone says, I would like Saida Brown to speak at our youth event, then I'll say, okay, here's my kit that has all my speaking topics, and it never includes prices. I never, ever include prices in any of my marketing and presentation and my promotions materials because I feel and I believe there's always a way that you can work a deal out. If I put that my fee is $5,000 and their budget's only $4,500, I've just lost the deal. If my fee is $2,000 and their budget is $4,500, I'm going to get undersold. I'm undervaluing myself. So I always listen and hear what they have to say because we can always strike some type of a deal. So don't put prices. But this is why I encourage you to use brochures. The same thing I have in my sales kit, I can put in a brochure. It's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's a 6-panel brochure, and then you leave the back center panel blank because that's where you stick the mailing label. But it's easy because the front panel has your picture, who you are. Mine always says author, speaker, spiritually active, member of Generation X. Whatever your tagline is, when you open up that front flap, it can include a brief bio. That middle flap, I always put my speaking topics. The right flap, you just put some other, you can either put testimonials. You want to make sure that people get the information that is absolutely critical for them to make a decision if they're going to use you as a speaker. Because what happens is if you send this package, and we're talking about mailing now, just imagine the weight of the package being mailed versus the cost of mailing a brochure, which is probably like 40-something cents. I don't know. I don't even mail that much anymore. So you just want to make sure that you're able to provide people the opportunity to book you and that they have all of the resources and information about you right in front of them. So just remember when you're in your marketing and your promotions, you're always selling yourself. You're always trying to put yourself in the best light. I encourage you to use testimonials. If you have the opportunity, just have some of, maybe speak somewhere for free and ask people to write a little note. What did you think of my presentation? Did it work? Was I on message? You always want testimonials because third-party endorsement will always help. It can't hurt, but it will always help you. So moving on to presentation. So far we've talked about your platform, where it's best to become an expert, not a speaker. We've talked about the best ways to promote yourself. Oh, let me go back and say one more thing. When you're doing your promotions, I just want to add before we move on to presentation, I encourage you to create different types of promotion material. For example, I have one specific marketing piece of collateral that I send out to churches, and then I have another one that I send out to corporate. So just be mindful that you don't want to send out a blanket one-size-fits-all piece of collateral, because you want to personalize it as much as possible. Pick three target ideal clients and then secure and create three distinct pieces of marketing collateral to send out to those three clients. So I have a marketing package that I send out to churches. I have a marketing package that I send out to schools, and then I also have a marketing package that I send out to corporations. So that way, if anybody is needing information, I can send it out straight away. I know what's in it. It's got testimonials. It's got my things that I talk about, and it just makes it nice and clean. So that's that on the promotion side of it. As far as your presentation, now, here's where it gets tricky, and here's where it gets very creative. I can't tell you how to present your topic. I mean, right now, just this whole concept of your presentation, it is as vast as the East is to the West, as California is to New York if you walk across the country. I don't use PowerPoint, and I don't use slides. A lot of speakers do. I probably will start to incorporate them, as I will be doing a lot of things to educators. But for the most part, you have to develop what style is best for you. And that's only going to come from trial and error. I'm going to share with you what I do and what I believe works, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. First things first, I do not feel you should ever write your speech, your talk, your presentation out. You look like somebody dead up there, and the day we have to do this, and you can't invoke any emotion or anything because you're just reading from a piece of paper. Don't forget, going back to your platform, if your roots are deep and you're an expert and a leading authority in your field, you won't even need your notes. You won't even need a script. What you will need is an outline. I firmly encourage you just to create an outline with no more than 9 bullets. And I believe, and based on my experience in working with speakers, this is the way it should look. It should be point one, 3 substantiating points. Point two, 3 substantiating points. Point three, 3 substantiating points. That's it. You add your opening and your close, and that is it. Because people can get into information overload, and they will not remember anything that you're talking about. Remember, you want people to be able to take information away from your presentation and your talk and implement it in their lives immediately, especially for if you want to get booked back, if you want to get called back, and if you want them to buy your products, whatever products you're selling. And we'll get into products in a moment. But when you're doing your outline, I think you should touch on just the 3 key points so your audience has an opportunity to process that information. If you're giving them point after point after point after point after point after point after point, they're going to forget and they're not going to be able to process that information. Just imagine, and I do this to my husband all the time, and he hates it. He'll come in the house in the evening, and I'm like, okay, the kids did this. We have to go food shopping. The laundry didn't get done. Did you get my stuff from the? And he's looking at me like I have 3 heads. That's because he can't digest me spewing all this stuff out to him with rapid succession. Okay, once you do that, this is what happened with the kids. We had a conversation, and I really stick to sharing 3 points, and that's it. Even, you know, I have team meetings twice a week with the radio team, and I also meet with my staff every single morning. Everybody that I work with, I talk with them for about 15 minutes in the morning, and we talk about really no more than 2 or 3 things because I don't want them to get, you know, just information overload. But anyway, when you know you have to give a presentation the next day, you must rehearse and practice. It sounds really corny, but you have to do it. Just imagine if you saw Whoopi Goldberg on stage and she was kind of all over the place, and she rehearses her lines. Anybody that is speaking in front of an audience, anybody that's speaking to a crowd, anybody that has something to say to other people, you should rehearse and practice. If not for yourself, just out of respect for your audience. You want to make sure you respect your audience, and you respect your audience, people that have paid money or someone that has paid money for you to come and speak, by being well-versed, knowledgeable, and that your presentation is on point. So that's critically, critically important. One way to overcome stage fright is to know your topic. And if you've rehearsed it several times the night before, if you rehearse it several, it's going to be really, really simple and easy to get on stage. You want to, you have to watch your body language. You have to watch your gestures. Oh, get this. Dress your message. I'm just reading my notes. Oh, wait, the remix just hit me up in the chat room. Hey, what's up? You want to dress your message, and I say this because it's part of your presentation. I was in a prickly situation. I was invited by a congressman to come speak at his youth event not too long ago. And I went down to Washington, and I said, you know, my husband travels with me. I'm like, I don't know what to wear. I'm speaking to a group of young people, and the name of my talk was, Is Hip Hop Public Enemy Number One? And so now it's part of a youth development program. So now I was faced with the challenge, do I wear a suit? Because I know all of the other people there were going to be wearing suits. Everything was about leadership, diversity, how to get a job, getting into college. And I looked at the roster, and I knew everybody was going to have a suit. But here I am coming talking about this Hip Hop Public Enemy Number One. And I'm like, do I really wear a suit for this? Well, I opted not to wear a suit. I wore very trendy, bright color shoes, a nice pair of tailored dark pants, they were navy blue, and a really nice white shirt. So I wanted to make sure that I was trendy enough, because if I'm getting up to speak about hip-hop, you can't really go talk about hip-hop in a suit. And the funny thing is that Kevin Lyles, who's the head of Warner Music Group, who's a huge tastemaker in the entertainment industry and hip-hop industry, he spoke right before I did. He was dressed casually as well, and we were the only two that were dressed, I would say, more casually than the other people, and that's because of the topics that they were speaking at. Jeff Johnson also, he delivered the keynote. He was dressed with a jacket and slacks on. So you have to dress your message. If you're going to talk to young people, or if you're going to talk to, let's choose a better one, if you're going to talk to a bunch of CEOs, you better wear a nice, fancy, expensive suit. You have to dress your message. If you're going to talk to eighth graders, you know, I speak to middle schoolers all the time. If I'm talking about hip-hop and pop culture, I may wear jeans and a nice shirt and a nice pair of shoes and some jewelry just so they can identify. But if I'm going for a career day, then I'll probably put on slacks and a shirt. So I just want to let everyone know, you have to dress your message, because if you don't, it can get lost in the translation. We have a caller holding, and before I move on to products in your business, caller, are you there from 919-395? You have a question?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing today?
Hi, how are you?
Okay, got a couple questions for you.
Sure.
Number one is, do you think that there is any such thing as a person is too young to be a speaker? I've known some young people that had thought about wanting to speak, and can you address how young a person can really start if they know their topic and they feel good about what they're doing? Should they wait, or can they go ahead and pursue speaking at an early age, like a young adult?
Okay. And you had another question as well?
The other question was, I've had some people who, sometimes when they do speaking engagements, they've asked if they can send questions in advance. Do you think that that makes it easier for the speaker when they are able to give you the questions and then maybe you can address those issues? A lot of times some speakers don't get to get the questions, but I've heard people say that that helps when you get the questions in advance because you can add that to your topic.
Okay, well, here's the two questions were just for people that are watching via webcam because they can't hear your question. There were two questions. The first one was, how young is too young to start speaking? And the second one was, if you're speaking, can you get the questions in advance? Well, here's what I have to say to that. You're never too young. You can be 5 years old, 8 years old. If you have a message, you have a message. But as far as you making money at it, it's so funny. I just had a conversation. This is creepy. I just had a conversation with my son, who's the 18-year-old. Y'all know I talk about my kids almost every day, about he really needs to start speaking because for two reasons. Number one, he was on the cover of my last book. So I think that can help him, that can help propel him to be a speaker. But number two, because he's young, because he's a black male, and because he's having challenges getting a job after high school and all of these things, I think there's plenty of opportunity for him to start speaking. So just Saturday, and I know this sounds so creepy because she didn't even know that I had this conversation with my son, we are developing my son's platform right now because he's having difficulty getting a job. And I'm like, you know what? You have write a book. It's not that difficult to write a book. I tell people all the time they put writing a book under this whole shroud, and it's really not that difficult to write a book. If you focus enough, you can get a book done. Don't believe that you can't. But I told him to write a book. We'll take some headshots, and you know, we'll start him speaking. Once I get into the business section, I'll explain how to set your fee. And also, as we move into the product section of this conversation, I'll show you what products are best to sell and best to move. Now, the second part of your question was, can you get the questions in advance? Well, I doubt it, because you never know. You know, unless you're going with something specific, I've never seen anyone really get questions in advance, which is why you really have to be sink your roots in your topic. You have to be very well versed and knowledgeable in what you talk about, because if not, you're going to get up there and you're going to look stupid. And don't forget, if people are paying you a lot of money, and I charge, you know, money to hear me talk, people won't want to pay you if they don't think you know what you're about. So when I get up on that stage, you know, I talk about domestic violence as well. So if I'm getting up there talking about domestic violence, I better have statistics. I better know what state's highest rates of DV. I better know the most recent cases in the news about violence committed against women. So if I'm well-versed and my roots are deep, then I really won't necessarily need the questions in advance because I'm very knowledgeable about my subject. Just like when I really started talking about, when I first started speaking and I was talking about From Hip Hop to Heaven, I could take almost any question because the core message of that talk of From Hip Hop to Heaven is about deliverance. So I had to really make sure I knew scriptures about deliverance. I had to make sure that I knew all different things about deliverance, stories in the Bible about deliverance, talk about my experience about being delivered. So, you know, you really have to know what you're talking about. And you know what the irony is? If you don't know what you're talking about, people are going to know in 2 seconds or less, like, this chick is a loser. Like, right now, everybody's listening to me because I kind of know what I'm talking about, and I can take questions, and I have something to say. Plus, I book speakers all day for a living. I have the radio show, but this is what I do. So I already know what works, and those kind of are qualifiers that allows me to be able to share information based on the topic of how to make motivational speaking your day job. I've already told you, you got to have a good platform. I already told you how you have to, what are the best ways to work your promotions. I already told you good ways to have a good presentation. Now, obviously, I'm trying to fit as much information as I can in 60 minutes, it's not easy. You know, I can talk about how to make motivational speaking your day job. Actually, this whole talk is 5 hours. I dedicate an hour to each of these topics, so we're just trying to get as much done. But I just want to thank you so much for calling. Did you have any more questions, or you're good?
Well, I have one more that came up with what you said. The preparation is definitely good, but have you ever been in a situation where you had your topic all set, and you know how sometimes you get on a program and they tell you what the theme of the program is? Have you ever been in a situation and they switched up on you at the last minute, and how would you advise somebody new to prepare, to best cope with that without it being obvious that they weren't prepared beforehand?
Well, I go back to what I originally said about your platform. If you know what you're talking about, I've been in situations where the topic has been switched. And this is what I tell every single speaker, and I learned this from Creflo Dollar, and this is the truth to the very end. I watch Creflo Dollar take the same message and spin it 500 different ways. We all know if you're going to World Changers, or if you're attending World Changers, or if you're tuning into Creflo Dollar on TV, somehow, some way, his message is going back to prosperity. I don't care if you're a member of World Changers and you disagree with me. Somehow, some way, his message is going to tie back to prosperity and better living through believing in Christ and da-da-da-da and all of these things. But that's the core of his message. That's why I changed my core message from hip-hop to heaven to leap for success. And I explained at the top of the conversation how I made that transition. But now that I talk about success, I have to know and study success principles from Nostradamus, from Jesus, from Mahatma Gandhi, from Martin Luther King. I have to study success and success principles. And what's happening now is I'm giving a presentation. Again, I talk a lot to middle schools. It's called, I'm not even going to give the name of the program yet because it's not finished. But the point is I'm teaching middle schoolers how to be successful. Then I'm going to have a program where I'm teaching business people how to be successful. The whole concept of this show, even though it's called Life Remix, is teaching people of faith how to be more successful in health, love, spirituality, consciousness. It comes back to your core competency. And if you want to be a speaker, if you don't have a core competency, you're dead in the water before you even start. Ms. V on the scene in the chat room just said, yep, they all do. A great speaker always comes back to the theme. You are absolutely right, and I cannot stress that enough. We may zhuzh it up a particular way. We may make it look a different way. We may use different adjectives, but at the end of the day, it boils down to our core message. And right now, and I will probably keep this message for about the next 2 years, is Leap for Success. My whole concept of Leap for Success, I've got the domain name, I'm building programs around it, and the way I market it is Saida has a message of success for your audience. That's it. Right there. So now I don't specifically say what the audience is. It just says, Saida has a message of success for your audience. And we can take that, whoever your audience is, and now we can spin it to young people, old people, church people, hip-hop people, short people, tall people, fat people. But I just have to know how to achieve success and experience success in every area of your life. So right now I'm studying all things success, books, tapes, DVDs, just how to be successful. So when I get up on that stage, and this is why I said I'm going to start using PowerPoint, when I get up on that stage, you have to know when you get out of that auditorium, you are going to know how to experience success in every area of your life. Because if you don't, I didn't do my job, and I will never get booked back. Plus, I charge a lot of money for this program. So I have to make sure the value that I offer the audience is 3, 4, 5, 50 times higher than what I'm actually charging. So that hopefully that answers your two questions. But yeah, just to go back to how young, I have a young man coming on the show on Wednesday. His name is Ben Foster. Ben is only 14 years old. 14 years old. He's a filmmaker, and I'm actually going to start coaching Ben on how to become a motivational speaker. So he's only 14 years old. So you know, you just have to have a message. You have to present it in a compelling way, and you have to make sure it's broad enough or it addresses a broad concern so people can pay you to talk about it. So that's how that goes. Now moving on to our fourth component, which is products. You gotta have product. If you don't have product, you're leaving money on the table. If you don't have product, you're leaving money on the table. And I'm speaking right now directly into my webcam. If you do not have product, you're leaving money on the table. Because what happens is, how do people, your product is basically an extension of your message. I'll say that again. Your product is basically an extension of your message. So if you're presenting a message that can really change people's lives, and if it's really in your heart to change people's lives, you genuinely will create tools and have tips and resources for people to be able to take your message home with them so they can continue to better their life. Now, what's the differentiating factor is going to be if you are more comfortable writing or speaking. Someone like me, I'm very comfortable doing both. I can knock out a new book in a month, and it's not that difficult. I'm ghostwriting a book right now, and we're on week two, and this person will have their book in 2 weeks. So, and from there, I get no additional money from it. They can take this book, and when they go out and speak, do whatever they want to do with it. But right now, samples of products that you can have, very good ones that always sell, are training products, which may include manuals, CDs, DVDs, and of course books. I mean, books are number one. And you know what I want to tell you? A book doesn't have to be 400 pages. You can have a book that's 125 pages. And if it's jam-packed with information for your audience to be a better them, your book will always sell. I believe we have a caller from 979-272. Caller, do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Hi.
Hi. I just happened to find your program, and I thought I would check in. Tell me, how difficult is it to get onto a speaker's bureau? If I have a program and I have a book, but I'm trying to market myself, and I think
mm-hmm.
that becoming a part of a speaker's bureau would be more efficient.
Well, I definitely, as the owner of a bureau, I think I'm pretty qualified to answer that question. My bureau is the Speakers Bureau Group, and we have several online properties with which to market our speakers. But one thing you have to be mindful of, a bureau does not work for you, the speaker. And I have to make this oh so clear, because everybody comes to me that says, listen, I have a great message. I just need an agent, somebody that I don't want to be bothered with, signing contracts. That's not what a bureau does. And I think that was an amazing question, because this is very, very important, and I deal with it all the time. A speaker's bureau works for the buyer. My loyalty and my allegiance is with the people who are paying the money. So our relationship with the speaker, when you pay any fee, and there's a fee associated with joining my bureau. It's not a crazy fee, but that fee just covers just to get you established with our bureau, add you to our catalog, add you to our roster. And I don't know what other bureaus do, but I just require 50% of the fee up front, and then the remainder we just take out of your first engagement with us, just to build the trust factor. But our loyalty is for the client. Now, if you're looking for somebody to get you speaking engagements or to secure speaking engagements for you, you need an agent or you need a manager. And there are several. I've got an amazing manager. Crystal is just like the bomb. She is really good. We talk every single day in the morning, and we talk about leads that are coming in, and I forward leads to her. Now, she is directly responsible for securing speaking engagements for me. I happen to be represented by my bureau, because how silly would that look that I speak and I don't have representation. But my specific bureau caters to the client. And then what happens is, being a member of a bureau, if a client calls and says, Saida, and I'm getting calls now for Black History Month for next February, believe it or not. So what happens is, I got a call from this college in Connecticut. They need someone to come for their Martin Luther King program. I'm sorry, not Black History. It's Martin Luther King. My apologies. They need someone to come for their Martin Luther King program next January. Well, the first place I am going to look is my roster. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is go through, peruse my list of speakers and say, okay, who do I know that's a good fit for this Martin Luther King program? The next question is going to be, what is their budget? Because if they've got a budget of $500, they probably cannot work with me. But they know if they're going to a bureau, it's at least going to be a couple thousand dollars. And then what we do, what my agent does, who's handling this specific booking, he now is going to send back to them probably six speakers. And the way we sent this particular email back recently said, here is a list of dynamic speakers that would be great for your Martin Luther King program, and they are all under $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
That way, we arrange them pretty much in price order. But this way, the university knows that they're going to probably spend at least $5,000, and here is a list of speakers. And we sent them, I think, either six names or eight names. Now, based on that, the client can come back and say, you know what, we don't have $5,000, we only have $2,500. Well, that's fine, because we put these speakers are under $5,000. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it leaves the window up for negotiation. So just be mindful with bureaus that the bureau does not work for the speaker. The bureau works for the client and the people that are paying the money. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it was very helpful. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for calling in. Have a great day. Okay, we're going to move on right now to, we're just going to touch a little bit more on products. I think the big determination between your products is if you like to write or if you like to speak. That's really the big distinction. Write a book. It's not that difficult. 100 pages, 150 pages, size 11 font. You can use CreateSpace if you want to do print on demand. I don't recommend as a speaker to use any print-on-demand format, because when you go out to speak, you need to have product to set up and sell. I also recommend you have at least three titles within your area of expertise. So, for example, when I was talking about From Hip Hop to Heaven, I created three books, From Hip Hop to Heaven for Girls, and then the third was Can Hip Hop Be Holy? So within the realm of From Hip Hop to Heaven, Deliverance, My Message to Young People, there's three themes that the client can kind of choose from. So now I'm telling them I can speak on pop culture, Can Hip Hop Be Holy? Current events. I can speak on etiquette and poise and grace in my book From Hip Hop to Heaven for Girls, because that's what I talk about. But then I can also talk about deliverance based on the tenets talked about that I wrote about in my first book From Hip Hop to Heaven. So now that my message is Leap for Success, I have three books that are going into that. The first one is Life Remixed, which really is going to address how to be successful to Gen Xers. I've got just in general Leap for Success, which is just a very generic book on achieving success. And then I'm creating a Leap for Success concept book for business owners and small business owners. So I recommend, and I know it's very lofty when I say, well, you have to write three books, but if you really want to command $1,000 lectures, you can't just have one book. My total opinion. One book is great. Three will get you the money. So you can take that and do what you want with it. But that's just my real firm recommendation, that you got to create three. And it doesn't necessarily have to be three books. Let me rephrase that, three products. I recommend three books, but I think it's best to do three products. So it can be two books and a CD series, two CD series and a book, a training manual. This guy, Jose Villegas, who I talk about like forever and ever, he has a book, a workbook, and a CD. So when you look at his table, you see the workbook, the book, and the CD, and his table looks gorgeous. You think this guy really knows his stuff. So I just recommend doing everything in threes. We're now winding down our hour, and I want to get to the business of your speaking career. You have to form a company. Either it's sole proprietor, LLC, whatever you want to do. You do not want your speaking career necessarily tied up with your personal. You can, but I don't recommend it. I recommend it be a separate entity, especially if you have product. Now, if you're just getting started and you're going out and you're speaking at churches and you're getting $50, $100, $250, then it's not necessarily necessary to have a company. But if you start developing products and you're at the $1,000, $1,500 mark, I would strongly recommend you create a separate entity. Because you don't want to get into a hairy situation. And the reason I say this is another reason. For example, last year, my older son, Daquan, because he's on the cover of Can Hip Hop Be Holy, he and I were both flown down for a book festival in Florida. Now, when we went to that book festival, we needed clothes. I got my hair done. I got my hair colored, my nails done. I bought new clothes. I was able to expense all of that through my company. So my appearance, just who Saida is and what she looks like as a speaker, my hair color is included, my toes, my fingernails, my shoes, my jacket, my coat, as was my son's, because he's on the cover of the book. So we were going technically for an appearance, of which all of those are business expenses. It becomes a little more difficult, I believe, if you do it and you don't have an entity from which to take those deductions. So when I did my taxes at the end of the year, I deducted my hair color, I deducted my roots, I deducted my pedicure, because it was all associated with us being in Florida for a week giving lectures and doing book signings. So I firmly recommend start a company. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, here's how you set your fees. I would write this down because this is very important. Number one, there's 6 tiers to get paid to speak. The first one is travel locally and speak for free. This is how you get your testimonials. Travel locally and speak for free. Next, travel locally and charge a nominal fee. That means you speak locally, you know, 25, 50 mile radius. Charge, just can you compensate my gas? I did that a lot. Next, travel regionally at your expense. That means, for example, if you live in, like I live in New York, so I will speak New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. When I say regionally, I usually mean a 3-hour drive, because I've driven down to Baltimore to speak for free, just because now I can say I'm speaking in Baltimore and I'm now opening, I'm introducing a new market to who, to me as a person and what I do. So at that point, I always make sure I get a letter of reference, because I'm not driving 3 hours, 4 hours to Baltimore and walking away with ungats, which is nothing. I make sure that I'm able to sell books to help recoup my costs, but I travel regionally at my expense. Next, travel regionally at their expense. And once you reach that point, immediately double your fee. Because don't forget, you were already charging a nominal fee when you were traveling locally. Once you start traveling regionally and they're paying for it, automatically double your fee. The first time I spoke at a community college, they did not pay me. They covered my expenses, but they didn't have a budget. I went anyway, but from that point on, my fee immediately became $1,500, because I was getting about $500 to $1,000 every time I spoke anyway. So immediately my fee went to $1,500. Next, travel nationally at your expense. I did this a couple years ago. I traveled to California to speak. I got an opportunity to speak at a women's conference. They didn't have any money to fly me, didn't have any money to pay for my food, didn't have money for squat. So I had to pay for everything out of my pocket. But what happens is I'm now in L.A., I'm now in Los Angeles speaking about my message from hip hop to heaven. I now can get mailing lists. You know, of course you have people sign up for your mailing list. You now try to sell them some product. So even though I did not make money, quote unquote, on that event, I was exposed to people 3,000 miles away. I just wanted an opportunity. That's all I wanted. The last one is travel nationally at their expense and get paid, and that's where I'm at right now. So the steps to getting paid are travel locally and speak for free, travel locally and charge a nominal fee, Travel regionally at your expense. Travel regionally at their expense and double your fee. Travel nationally at your expense. And travel nationally at their expense and get paid. We're down to the last 6 minutes of this session, and I just want to share a few more things with you before we depart part ways. Just know that this information will be available for download through iTunes, and it will also be available on blogtalkradio.com/CyBrown, as well as my MySpace page, myspace.com/liferemixedradio. And you can also go to www.liferemixedradio.com. So there's tons and tons of ways to get this information. And the website of my company is the PlatinumSpeakersBureau.com, PlatinumSpeakersBureau, Speakers Bureau, SpeakersBureau. This week, in September, we will have a Master Speakers Workshop in New York City. It's in partnership with my company, the Platinum Speakers Bureau, as well as Media Training Worldwide. It's under $1,000, but you will get so much information on how to really make motivational speaking your day job, your head will just spin. That's the time where you're going to get information overload. But let me just share with you the sales process. This is how you work your sales process so you can get bookings. You have to have an inquiry sheet. Create an inquiry sheet, because with the inquiry sheet, that's somebody who calls in that wants to book you. You want to create one single piece of paper that has the information on it that you need for the event. Date of the event, is it a paid event, how many people are coming, what's the location. So you have to create an inquiry sheet. You also want to create a rider, and you want to create a contract. A contract stipulates what you're supposed to be doing and where you're supposed to be. A rider is the details to make your trip more comfortable. So, for example, my rider says that I require 2 unopened bottles of room temperature water, and I need that at the stage. And I have other things in my rider as well, but those are things that I mandate that I need to make my talk flow a little bit better. So you want to have inquiry sheets, you want to have a contract, you want to have a rider, and you also want to make sure that your travel is properly taken care of. Just some little tips, things that screwed me up at times. Caller, I see you do have a call, I'll take your call in one moment, is I went to check in at one time at an event, and the hotel room was under the name of the meeting planner, and the hotel wouldn't let me check in. So just imagine, I'm tired, I'm traveling, I want to check into my room, and this is what was the front desk told me. Oh, yeah, this person has 10 rooms under her name. I said, yeah, well, one of those is mine. Yeah, but we can't give it to you because it's under her name. So little things like make sure your hotel room is under your name, because this is stuff that I've gone through, and you want to make sure you leave evaluations so the audience can rate your presentation, because you want to get a return booking. Last thing, you want to send a thank you card. What I do is I write out the thank you card when I do the contract. I just don't mail it until after the event, because you always want to make sure that the client knows that you're grateful and appreciative, that your message was relevant enough that they're going to pay you for it. The last tip is you can always work with a speakers bureau like mine. I'm always looking for new speakers, always, always, always. Hit me up, PlatinumSpeakersBureau.com. We're down to the last 2 minutes of this session, and we have a caller, so I want to take this call. Caller, are you with us? 919?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, what's the question?
So basically, how can people book you? They can go to the Speakers Bureau and send an information, or is that how they can register if they want to become a speaker? Is that for both?
If they want to become a speaker, they can go to PlatinumSpeakersBureau.com, and if they go on Speaker Services, there's a link there, and you can download a whole package of information on how to become a speaker with the Platinum Speakers Bureau. Again, just go to PlatinumSpeakersBureau.com and click on Speaker Services, and in the upper left-hand corner, there's a little package that you can download that has all the information on how to be a speaker. If you want to book me to speak at one of your events, I would recommend go to CyBrown.com, because if you go to cybrown.com, there is an online form that you can fill out that has that requests the specifics of your event, and then once you fill that out, it comes in an email, and then I'll forward it to my team. Actually, I'll forward it to Crystal, who can call you back and make all the arrangements. It's best recommended that things are done through email, because that way there's a record of it, and we have all the details of the event. So we don't want to make mistakes. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to screw up your date and then say, well, wait, I thought you said September 2nd, but it was really September 22nd. So if you send it in an email, we have all the dates and things available. Oh, True View Radio, hello, if you're not finished, can you do a part two? Yeah, actually, I'm going to do a five-part series. I think, you know, there's such a big interest in this. I think I'm going to do a whole week of how to make motivational speaking your day job, and on Monday I'll do your platform, on Tuesday I'll do your promotions, Wednesday I'll do your presentation, Thursday I'll do your products, and Friday I'll do your business. I'm also doing a session, how to start your speaking ministry. So for those of you that are in ministry and you want to know how to start your own speaking ministry, I will be there to help you as well. Thank you, The Remix, for sharing those wonderful comments that this is a great show. You know, I want you guys would have never known that this is what I do for a living because I never talk about it. You know, I always talk about how to be successful and God loves us, but now you're getting another glimpse into my life and see that actually I'm a very successful speaker and I book $10,000, $15,000, $10,000 speakers all day long. I just want to tell you all, thank you so much. I love you for listening. And just know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us, and wherever I am, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is.